Welcome. When you tune into something pretty precisely, it becomes more clear. Rather than putting layers of thought on top of an idea, just approaching it directly. Form is emptiness, and emptiness is form. The Buddha in the Lavakatara Sutra, I think it's pronounced, he teaches non-arising. He says that when you realize that whether something exists or not is nothing but the perception of your own mind, its external existence is seen as non-existent and non-arising. The confused members of other schools maintain the arising of existence or non-existence and deny they are the result of attachment to their own projections. Because I deny the arising of existence or non-existence, I teach the teaching of non-arising. So this teaching of non-arising and what the Heart Sutra says about form is emptiness and emptiness is form, this is the same teaching, just approaching it from two different expressions. It's also the same teaching as our sitting practice. In Zen, when we sit with our eyes partly open, just gazing, but not focused on anything. So the inner and the outer are the same as form is emptiness, inner, emptiness is form, outer. There is no difference. So when Dogen says, sitting Zazen by itself is Buddha. This all relates to the same teaching of non-arising, and that everything is a projection of your own mind. Now I will enjoy my tea. I generally like to keep it simple and not get way out there. But on the other hand, it's like the Zen stick. If you don't get hit with it, you get lazy. And in my life, I really appreciate it when I feel like I've been hit with the Zen stick. And there's an aha moment that comes to me, like, oh my, that's it. Why didn't I see that before? My sharing with you about this non-arising and everything coming from the mind, and form is emptiness, and emptiness is form, as being all the same teaching. It's the essential teaching of Buddha. Now, to make it simple for people, he teaches Noble Eightfold Path, so that in the realm of emptiness is form, you can participate in this form in a healthier, more expressive, correct way and not cause suffering. Many schools focus on form is emptiness. You know, that's sort of the way of leaving the world. But in our Zen practice, we're not leaving the world, you see. This is the path of the Bodhisattva. Our eyes are partly open. Our gaze is fixed in the world as well as inner. So this whole, you know, there are other schools of Buddhism that teach two forms of meditation to get to this place. In Zen, we combine it, the inner and the outer, to just be present. in ordinary Zen, in this practice, I don't buy into the necessity to sit for months and months and months on end in a cave. I think being right here, right now in this world is as potent as the experience of the cave, and more so, because you also have emptiness as form. You don't get lost in the inner world. You come into the world and bring with you your learning and your experience of suchness, of just being present to exactly how it is. As I explore this, my goal really is to achieve enlightenment in this lifetime. This is why I'm here, and to share that. I think that that's the goal for many of us, actually. We may not verbalize it like that. We may not say that that's what our practice is. But isn't it really, isn't awakening, being present in the world just as it is, isn't it complete immersion in what this is? It's not running away. It's not going somewhere else. And yet, this body, this is not who I am. You see? This is a projection. Now, it's on a level that we can't understand with our intellect and our teaching and our upbringing and all the rest of it, because all of that is part of the same delusion. That's why we have to jump off the cliff and into the Buddha's mind directly. Otherwise, we're just floating along on samsara and our little raft that we created for ourselves so that we don't sink. When actually sinking is just what we need to do. Give up the raft. But then you still have a raft, you see. It's a very interesting thing, this whole idea of enlightenment or awakening. Where is that? If not right here, right now, in this moment, just the way it is. It's nowhere else. It's not something off in the distance. You could be sitting on the toilet and get enlightened. Really? That's not a joke. It happens. You know, there's that great Zen story about the guy's just coming back from the outhouse, and his student asks him, "What is Buddha?" "Shit on a stick." Because back then they didn't have toilet paper. That is emptiness is form, you see. Me personally, I really liked floating away into emptiness, floating off into la-la land in a way. It was sort of an escape from this world where emptiness is form. It's both. You have to have both. I guess the reason I'm emphasizing it so much is because it took me so long to get that. The longer I'm here, the longer I am on this path, the more respect I have for what Buddha taught. I mean, it's so hard to imagine that 2600 years ago, someone understood the nature of mind. You know, I mean, when you look at science today and we're still exploring that, and all the philosophers throughout history have been exploring that. But when you look at, really look at what Buddha taught, oh my goodness, it really is all encompassing. doesn't deny anything or add anything to it. I mean, you know, back in his time, there were, just like there are now, all these different religions and different versions of the same religion. You know, depends on whether you're, you know, a Baptist or a Catholic. You know, it's like, it's so different. Back then it was the same way, you know. So when he had to teach what he had to teach about non-arising and everything's a projection of your own mind, just think how that was taken by some of these people. Not very well, I'm sure. Or they just didn't, you know, they didn't hear it if they weren't ready to hear it, is how I think it went. But there was a Sufi teacher that I studied his teachings for a long time. And one of his famous sayings is that when the message, when someone's giving the message, if you're not ready to hear it, you fall asleep. It's a lullaby. It puts you to sleep. If you're ready to hear it, it's awakening. I always liked that story. So I don't know. That's what was on my mind tonight. What's on your mind?
I appreciate your talk, because just today something happened that upset me. And so I kind of like went off the side to pull myself together. And I kept saying to myself, this is a projection of my mind. This whole situation is a projection of my mind. I don't want to give my equanimity away to it, because it's just a projection of my mind. And at the time, it didn't seem like it was helping. But as you were talking, I realized it did help. Because if I wasn't able to take that step back and have a little bit of a broader perspective, I would have been much more wrapped up in the situation, and it would have taken a lot longer to recover from it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I do think that there's a lot to sitting in a cave for many years, but you're not coming face to face with the kind of situations that we face in our lives. You know, living a 21st century fast life.
Yeah.
With lots of having to harmonize with lots of different energies.
Yeah. You know, Buddhism, Zen in particular, has kind of adjusted and changed over time, depending on the era and the culture and the community that it's in. And I think that's happening now. I think we're part of that, because we're bringing these really ancient, important teachings into what you just said, you know, the 21st century lives, not some cave. You know, we're not putting on robes and going out into the forest and getting away from all this. We're trying to make this work. Let's make it work the best we can.
You say about mind, Buddha. The thing to me is that always makes me just the idea of form is empty, this is form. It's, that's quantum physics. Yeah, the universe is right now, we think, is defined by the fact that matter appears and matter disappears spontaneously,
yeah,
continuously over and over. And the only way they can explain how it all hangs together is this idea that matter and energy is interchangeable, but also matter itself comes into being and disappears as well in every cycle. And it's just, wow. We can only explain the universe in our clumsy mathematical way now using that concept. It's something that somebody figured out 2,800 years ago.
You know, the whole idea that there's nothing new under the sun.
Yes.
On the other hand, everything is new all the time.
Your talk reminded me of reading, and I've read it several times, Suzuki's book, Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, which was always, you know, it makes a little more sense to me now than it used to. But when he was talking about dualism, non-dualism, he would say, if you think it's one, you're wrong. If you think it's two, you're wrong. You know,
yeah.
It's one and it's two.
Yeah.
Which is it's almost like you have to live in two worlds.
Yes. Yes, it is like that.
Because non-dual sounds great, but you can't cross the street in a non-dual world. You get hit by a car.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's an adventure we're on.
The other odd thing I noticed as well was the whole idea of just, you know, the practice being a little bit stepped away from your own cogitation thoughts, sort of a feeling, but come, is it? You know, sort of like, and then one day it's like, that sucks. No, I don't, whatever it is, the car.
Yeah.
And the next day, nothing's changed, except that, hey, this is all right. It's okay. Yeah. And I'm just always intrigued by that. Now, at least there's a distance that I can sort of like, oh, yeah, that's just your mood, that's your feelings, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's such a difference. What is it about, you know, the nature of mind and existence that makes us one day be like, oh, damn it, you know, this is just a waste of time, and what the hell? And the next day it's like, what? Come on, it's a miracle. Yeah, it's so weird.
I
almost disoriented too.
I put that too. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and I'm like, oh, not another day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then other days I wake up and I'm so excited and ready to jump out of bed, and there seems to be no rhyme or reason why.
Right.
I mean, what is acceptance actually? I think it's letting go. It's not, you know, saying, okay, I accept the way things are, lay it on me, I'm going to lay down, I'm going to be a mat now, he can drive over me and everything will be fine. It's not that. None of it is worth attaching to. Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. But you don't attach to it. You know, you see it for what it is. It's like every breath is a new breath. Every moment is a new moment. And if you live there, as opposed to a historical reliving a moment over and over again that didn't work out the way you wanted it to, I mean, there might be a process that you have to go through to be able to let it go, but that's okay. You go through the process. If it takes 10 breaths or 10 years, you do it. Nirvana relates to what we're just talking about just now, you know, the ups and downs. Nirvana transcends. It's transcending these ups and downs. Well, how do you transcend them? It's not like I said before, running away from them. You know, emptiness is form, form is emptiness. It's totally in it, but not in the way you think. If everything is a projection of our minds, then why hold on to it? There'll be another one. Oh, thanks for joining me tonight, you guys. Helps me a lot. Forces me to pay attention to what's important.
I think it does that for all of us.
Yeah.